Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange, and this one just begs for an audio cue to set the scene. We take you back to the late 60s now for a popular situation comedy. Hum along if you know the tune. If your guess is Hogan's Heroes, you nailed it. It was a comedy about American prisoners of war in a camp in Nazi Germany in World War II. And it was funny enough and popular enough to last for six seasons on CBS, ending in 1971. Why are we talking about it on The Exchange? Because two Rogue Valley events, Saturday and Sunday, will showcase the book Hogan's Heroes, the Definitive Episode Guide by Brian Young, a Portland author. He's in the studio with me. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you so much for having us here.
Marlon Mason will be along with Brian at both events. That's on Saturday the 15th at Village Books in Medford and Sunday the 16th at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland. Marlon Mason was an actor in a couple of episodes of Hogan's Heroes. Marlon, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Yes, and I did two Hogan's Heroes, and I did the very last one.
Did you? Okay, yes. I definitely have some questions about your appearances there. But yes. To the general sense of things, I mean, Hogan's Heroes, the Definitive Episode Guide, I mean, the show itself to younger ears must sound nuts, a comedy about prisoners of war.
It did sound nuts to a lot of people when they first pitched it, and the press just bashed it. They thought it was a horrible idea to be presenting some kind of a comedy about World War II, 20 years after World War II. Most of the networks didn't want to touch it, but then when they figured out that they were really going to present the Nazi characterizations mostly as buffoons and that the good guys, the Allied freedom fighters, would win in every episode, I think the press realized pretty quickly, okay, we don't need to take this so seriously. And so that made it accessible to a big audience.
Well, you've embraced it as an adult. Were you a fan as a kid? I mean, were you glued to the set when it was on?
Not really. I liked the show, and my older brothers enjoyed it more than I did. And I remember watching it in elementary school and high school, but it was really in 2020, during that lockdown year when we were all afraid to leave the house, that I started rediscovering the reruns on MeTV. They were running two episodes a night. They still do in the Medford area. And I really became enamored with all of the trickery and the scheming of the way they would pull off these schemes to fool the Nazis really kept me going. And I thought the whole cast was really brilliant across the board, and all the wonderful guest stars that showed up at Stalag 13, one of who's with us today.
Like Marlon Mason. So you were on the screen in episodes that Brian was watching, and you were in two episodes altogether?
Yes, two. And I think they were, about 3 years apart. Mm-hmm. But I had the same character name in both, Lily Frankel. Mm-hmm. And sometimes the fans, I think, get in arguments. Well, it was not the same Lily Frankel, though, and I thought, well, it could have been the same Lily Frankel. She was a spy, so she could have really been.
It's very ambiguous.
Why it couldn't have been her. Yeah.
There were not a lot of women in the show, though. I mean, they're really not given the setup of it, a camp for prisoners of war and stuff. So, were some episodes, Brian, where there were no women at all?
There were some that were no women at all, but generally they would have one primary female guest star. The only regular female on the series was the German secretary of Colonel Klink. Two different actresses played that. But the last 5 years, the actress was Sigrid Valdez, who the star of the show, Bob Crane, ended up marrying.
Wow.
Had a little romance with her, and they got married on the set of Hogan's Heroes.
Oh, they did.
So she was the only regular female, was Klink's secretary. But there were lots of female guest stars that were on the program quite a bit.
Hogan's Heroes, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. Brian Young is the author of Hogan's Heroes, the Definitive Episode Guide. He's from Portland. He'll be appearing in Rogue Valley in two events this weekend with Marlon Mason, who was an actor in two episodes of Hogan's Heroes. Questions, comments, Hogan's Heroes fans out there, join us by email jx@jeffnet.org. And I've been hiding your light under a bushel just a bit so far, Marlon, because your acting career, as I looked at your IMDb list, seems to include pretty much every TV show of note in the 60s and
yes,
70s, plus getting to kiss Elvis Presley in a movie.
Yes. I'm considered one of the episodic queens of the 60s. But there were a lot of shows I didn't do. It's amazing how many I didn't do, but I did do a lot.
Longstreet was one I noticed you had a rather long
Yes, that we did 24 shows. That was one season with Jimmy Franciscus. That was done at Paramount. Sterling Siliphant was the key writer on that.
Given all the shows you were in as guest star or, you know, semi-regular or regular, I mean, is anything about Hogan's Heroes that stands out to you?
Oh, it was just, yes, but it was great fun. But the first show I did, I had a costume, top hat and tails in the cane, and a song, Falling in Love Again, What Am I to Do? And I had this song all worked out. They ran Blue Angel for me, and which I learned at that time that Marlene Dietrich did not sing like that. At that time, it was Falling in Love Again. But, uh-huh. And I thought, I'm not doing young Dietrich. I want to do the early Dietrich.
Sultry.
The sexy voice. Well, it was more fun. So Jerry London says, okay, time to shoot your song and dance number. I said, Jerry, do you have a choreographer for this? And he said, no, just sing the song. I said, Jerry, it calls for a choreographer. So I'm kind of getting a little frantic. And out of the darkness, I say, of the soundstage comes this French accent. Oh, darling, do not worry. I fix something for you. Come on, let's go work on a number. It was Robert Clary. Uh-huh. He had finished for the day. He said, I am finished for the day. So we went off, and 15 minutes later, we had whipped up this fabulous little number. And it became one of my favorite roles.
Oh, that's great.
Of everything that I did. And I had done some pretty fun stuff. But that was just a delicious, and the way it was photographed, it looks like a feature film.
Huh.
And I was really good in it. And one of the extras came up to me, and he said, well, we have a divided group up down here, all the guys that were soldiers. And he said, half of us think that that's Marlena, and the other half says it's you. And he said, I think it's you. And I said, well, you won. Your team won. I said, yeah, it's me. And it was great. It was great fun getting to do that.
Fun doing the voice.
But it was a funny show. Yeah.
Now, Robert Clary was the actor who played Corporal LeBeau. He was the Frenchman, and he was a regular. So he was one of the actors who helped Marlon choreograph
and
that. And we just lost him last year.
Yes, he was the last. On, yeah. He's the last one, isn't he?
Oh, okay.
Last of the regular
group.
Cast.
Yeah, and I realize I'm kind of sliding past the names of the stars here. Bob Crane played but Hogan.
He started on radio. He was a big radio DJ in L.A. for many years before he really became a television actor. So, but
and
yes,
I did
Bob
a
Crane.
Show with Ray Bolger on Bob's show. We did an interview.
Ray Bolger from The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
Oh wow. So let me ask you though, Brian, because it's one thing to like or love a show, but I mean, 168 episodes. This sounds exhaustive, and exhausting.
It is, but I mean, you know, the show's really kept me going. I will say this, though. There are some episodes that play stronger than others, and I think that's going to be the case with any episodic series when you painstakingly watch every single one of them. But there's plenty of ones that stand out as real gems. And again, I keep going back to it, that it was really a lot of the scheming and the tricks and the way they would pull, because it was it's a very absurd, ridiculous show. But if you accept the staples of the series, you can really have a lot of fun with it. But the way Colonel Hogan was this idea man, like, well, we can try it this way. This is how we'll fool the Nazis. And they would don disguises and pretend they were German characterizations or Russians. I should mention another actor. Richard Dawson was one of the regulars.
Yeah, uh-huh. Famous for Family Feud, the original version.
Yeah, he made a lot of money in the game show circuit. But he's great on the series. And his voice characterizations are superb. He was one of my favorites.
We're talking to Brian Young, who's the Portland author of the book Hogan's Heroes, The Definitive Episode Guide. Marlon Mason, who was an actor on a couple of Hogan's Heroes episodes, will join him at events at Village Books in Medford on June 15th and on Sunday, June 16th at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland. I've seen some, you know, people looking back, looking at context for Hogan's Heroes and suggesting that maybe they weren't really prisoners of war, maybe they were just spies who allowed themselves to be captured so they could work from the inside. Was that ever done explicitly over the course of the series?
You know, that's a great question, and I always wondered that myself. Were they planted there? How were the tunnels all built? The whole thing is they can tunnel in and out of this prisoner of war camp at ease, and I always wondered, how did they get in there and build all those tunnels? Were they planted by the Allies? It's never really answered. The pilot episode, which was created by Al Ruddy, the great producer, just passed away, personal friend of Marlon's, and an actor named Bernard Fine, they just sort of established that this business has been going on for quite a while. They perform all these acts of sabotage and whatnot. So that's kind of a riddle of the series. I mean, were they really set up to be prisoners? You know, were they there as prisoners of war, or were they part of this bigger scheme, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are some things that that it is one of those, if you do, you know, cultural stuff from your own youth, you get blank looks from younger people. And, but, you know, that you would walk around going, ah, clink.
I know nothing.
I know nothing. That was the big line. Yeah.
What is this man doing here?
They still do
Major
that.
Major Hochstetter.
People still do that. I know nothing.
A good friend of mine, Robert, when I told him I was writing the book, he's a fan, and he loved the Howard Kane character. You knew Howard
Kane.
Oh,
I worked with Howard, yes.
His big catch line, you know, what is this man doing here? But you worked with Howard, yeah.
I did a play with Howard, my sister Eileen, when I was 19 years old at the Valley Playhouse in the San Fernando Valley. Yeah, so so it was great fun to see him have that success.
Marlon, you mentioned you were in the final episode. Was there a conclusion? I mean, Hogan's Heroes was a typical show for its time. The events of week 13 had no bearing on the events of week 14.
Yeah, I just found out recently it was the last show.
Uh-huh.
Did I find that out from you? But I found out recently. All these years have passed, but I had no idea. I also did The Last Perry Mason, but I had no idea it was the last. I don't think that they were planning on canceling the show.
What is okay, it so about when Marlon Mason shows up, they shut down
they
the production.
Down.
They go
the yes.
Angel of Death for TV shows from the 60s. How did you and Brian make a connection to do this tour together?
I wrote Marlon 3 years ago when I was writing the book. I sent out letters to everybody I could find who had worked on the series, and Marlon graciously said, sure, I'll talk with you about Hogan's Heroes. And the book landed December 2021, and I've slowly been moving it around, but I've been wanting to meet Ms. Mason in person since we're, you know, Oregonians. And so I set up the two bookstore events, and she graciously said that she would make appearances at both of them.
I love
my
to
special
talk.
Guest star.
Well, I love to talk. It's wonderful. I had such a good time in the business,
mm-hmm.
So I like sharing it, and it's.
And
it's
have you acted in the last few years? Are you doing it all anymore?
Well, when I came to Oregon, I stopped. My car died, my agent died, and I figured dead car, dead agent, dead career. This was in 1993, and I was in my early 50s and not getting a lot of, there wasn't a lot of work for women then. So I ended up, and I had a friend that I grew up with. She has a little guest house, and long story short, I've been living in that little guest house 460 square feet for 31 years as come July 18th. I came up here. I did two movies of the week up in Portland, and then the work stopped. There was just no work. And I wrote something 11 years later in 07, and I gave it to a local film director, Ray Robison. And he called me up and he said, we got to do this. It was a short, 9-minute short called Model Rules. And that got me into indie filmmaking. And I've done about 27 now.
Oh, wow.
I act in other people's features. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten me work. There's no money in it. It's all mm-hmm. micro-budget stuff.
Oh, wow.
But I don't do it for the money. I just have had a great old age. And then Elvis, I'd rather have him alive than and well than wherever he is. And, but He's given me a great old age. I've been to Europe doing Elvis shows. And
oh, sure, and, because of your parents
and
together.
Going to Memphis
the
and
trouble
all of
with
that.
Girls, yeah.
So I'm having a great, I'll be 84 in August. I'm having a great old age.
Congratulations.
And I love that I can keep working. I'm going to make a horror film in July.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Okay. Marlon Mason with Brian Young, the author of Hogan's Heroes, the definitive episode guide. On the road Saturday at Village Books in Medford, Sunday at Bloomsbury Books in Ashland. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Wonderful time. Thanks.
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Great.